Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, got Asa Gray.
Yes.
Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And yeah, we're short of Dalton and Amandy tonight. They had better things to do, so you got the three of us. You should be happy with that.
Well, Mandy has a child, so that's understandable. Dalton's feasting with the beast.
Well, I mean, I figure everybody assumes that Dalton's not worthy of not being here, and Mandy is. That's just...
Oh, yeah, no, we miss Mandy.
Yeah, of course. All right, so, yeah, we're going to go ahead and start off. First of all, rest in peace, Vern Troyer. He passed away this last week. It's pretty upsetting. Yeah, I'm not going to dwell too much on that. Guillermo del Toro has signed an exclusive deal with DreamWorks Animation.
Ooh.
I'm curious what's going to happen on this.
Well, he apparently has been doing stuff with Netflix. I did not know that Del Toro was the writer of Trollhunters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the DreamWorks show it's a Netflix exclusive.
Yeah.
I found that out. Now I'm actually going to have to give that a chance because it always just looked like some kind of weird How to Train Your Dragon knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I was like, but
animation
they own
style,
how to,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it gave me a real strong like Nickelodeon afternoon show vibe. Like,
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've just kind of scrolled over it.
Yeah.
Because this is the one where he's a school kid gets transported to this alternate world and has to save, so then he has to defend Earth from the evil trolls, but then he also has to defend the troll world from the evil trolls as well.
Okay.
If that's the one that I'm thinking it is.
Have you watched any of it, or do you just
read
the premise?
No, but I have seen, I saw a bunch of trailers for it on, because YouTube is stupid, so you'll, like, if you're, like, binge-watching something that's monetized, you will only see, like, three ads.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of those ads that I saw over and over again while watching like a Game Grumps playlist or something.
Gotcha. So yeah, I mean, I'm curious in checking it out. Like, I have actually heard good things about it, but not from communities that I really
trust.
Yeah, or pay attention to. It's just kind of like stuff that pops up every now and again.
Gotcha.
So yeah, now I'm actually kind of curious about it. And he's got another series coming up in 2018, Three Below. It's another animated series for Netflix, and in 2019, he's got a series called Wizards.
Okay.
Will be the first couple of things to come out of this, but yeah,
Okay, yeah, this is the one that I was thinking of. A teenager finds a secret civilization of mighty trolls beneath the small town of Arcadia, and it is sitting at an 8.4 on IMDb, a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. 98% of Google users like the show, and it's a 7.9 out of 10 on TV.com.
Huh.
So that's
surprising.
Surprisingly high, yeah.
I mean, if Del Toro's writing it.
Well, he's the program creator. He's a program creator.
I know my problem is going to be the actual animation style.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't like the How to Train Your Dragon style?
Well, I like it, but it's one of those things I have to see it. You know.
Fair enough.
Here's some images. I mean, well, it's a still image, so I know that that kind of defeats the purpose of animation, but that's like the...
It really does just kind of look like a How to Tame Your
it
Dragon.
It really does.
Knockoff.
Like, yeah, because I had the same thought watching it.
Yeah, I mean, that's every time I scroll past it on Netflix, because Netflix has brought it to my attention several times. Like, you would probably like this show since you watch Voltron and all this other stuff. I'm like, I don't know, Netflix.
So the cast is kind of sick, which Anton Yelchin played... one of the characters, which I'm assuming he has been recast since then, unfortunately, because this came out in like 2016.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Perlman, Kelsey Grammer, Stephen Young, Charlie Saxton, and Fred Tatasciore. I give up on that one. But
really?
Yeah, Ron Perlman, Kelsey Grammer, and Stephen Young.
Seriously.
That's
well, okay.
So yeah, it's like, okay, well, I guess I might be checking out Trollhunters tonight.
Right. Well, all right, Netflix.
Also, I know it's not going to happen, but give me a DreamWorks At the Mountains of Madness Guillermo del Toro animated.
Oh. Yes,
yes,
please.
Give me that. Like, it won't
just
happen.
Super dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be for kids. It can be an adult movie.
DreamWorks?
DreamWorks.
You have plenty of adults that watch your stuff.
Just do it. Like, you do it as DreamWorks. Just say, because I understand that DreamWorks, there's kind of that, like, you assume, like, we went, oh, a DreamWorks movie came out. There's a certain assumption that comes with that.
Right.
Just say, no, this was made by another team. like what they did with Silent Hills.
They need a subdivision.
Look, here's a little indie movie that we're doing.
Right, we're publishing it.
Then the Scooby-Doo reveal, it was DreamWorks all along.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to check that out, and now I'm extra excited about 3001 Wizards. Something else that I'm super excited about, Deadpool 2, we got the final trailer.
Woohoo!
Since it releases next month?
I think so. Because it was
the week after Infinity War originally, I think. And Infinity War moved up a week. If I'm not mistaken, either way.
May 18th.
So, yeah. Yeah, it would have been the week after...
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2 weeks, I guess, after the original date for Marvel. Anyway, we got the final trailer for that, so we did get one of the things that I'm particularly excited about. We got confirmation of Terry Crews' character. Everyone knows how I feel about Terry Crews.
Mm-hmm.
Love that man. It's Bedlam, which Dalton. This is where Dalton would say, sure, but I definitely thought he was going to be... Who did Dalton think? He thought he was going to be Proud Star.
Proud Star?
I think that. Yeah, that's Shatterstar? Well, Shatterstar is also in a different character.
Yeah, okay.
Warpath.
Oh, okay.
Warpath. James Proud Star is Warpath. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're it's like, that's some deep, over my head
that's
right
some
now.
Deep X-Men pull that I don't even have.
He's just another X-Man with a healing factor.
Okay. There's so many of those.
Yeah. He was on the original X-Force team, basically the He's one of the best trackers because he has heightened senses similar to Wolverine and whatnot.
Okay.
I mean, he's like Wolverine, but Native American.
I mean, oh, okay. I was guessing that with the name Proud Star.
Yeah, his name is James Proud Star. And he was a villain for a while, and then it's comic books. Anyway, because Dalton, for whatever reason, like really clung to that idea. So we got to see several of the other characters in action. We got to see Domino actually talk, which is kind of cool. We got to see Peter. We don't know.
Just Peter.
Just Peter. He just wants to help.
I just wanted to answer the ad. So the internet has gone insane with Peter.
Yes.
Like, that is everyone's favorite part of that trailer. Uh-huh. I thought it was funny, but it wasn't like, it didn't absolutely blow me away. I very much enjoyed it, but it wasn't like, I'm going to make videos dedicated to this.
Yeah,
people are weird.
No, because the internet wants to know more. They're uh-huh. very intrigued.
Have you seen the Nerdist theory?
No.
That is Peter Wisdom?
Oh, yeah, no, I did see that, because some people were saying, like...
I think Hunter put that in the group chat.
Yeah, that it could be Peter Wisdom.
Which, that would be kind of funny. But the thing that I dug the most about it was, so they do the interaction, like, he's on the plane, and he's on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not freaking out, he's not, like, the taxi driver. And then, like, whenever they show him skydiving, he's, like, all business. He's, like, ready to go.
Yeah, because, see, that was one of my concerns with, like, the character in the first place. It's like, oh, so we have another taxi driver.
Mm-hmm. But the taxi driver's in it again.
Yeah, he is, which is great. Like, I like the taxi driver and everything. And I guess they were trying to catch, you know, lightning in the bottle again. Mm-hmm. And no, Peter
everybody
just...
Everybody loved him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Peter's just down.
He knows what's up. He's just, all right. I just want to answer the ad. Get me out of the house.
Right. But just average-looking dude. And then we also got, there's a couple of like little Easter eggs that were in the trailer that the internet hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them in particular that I'm really hoping is true. First, there's an invisible character.
Yep.
And that was something that I completely missed and wasn't gone over at all.
Yeah, I missed it too. It was because it was the same, I think it was Nerdist is the same people that put that together. Or maybe it was just someone on Reddit.
Yeah, I saw it on Reddit first.
Because it was while they're in the plane.
Yeah, it's like sitting next to Peter.
Next to Peter is just, you can see the straps are down and
but
someone is buckled in there.
Okay.
But I haven't got to watch it yet,
so I'll have to do that later.
And then,
so good.
I wish we would have known that. We would have made you watch it before we started.
I've been at the con all weekend.
And then later on, while they're showing the skydiving scene, there is just a parachute.
Nice.
Yep. With like a harness and parachute.
It's harnessed
just,
and everything.
Just going.
Yeah.
That's
just
hilarious.
Diving.
There is a small subset of people who think that whoever that character is actually a spoiler.
Okay.
They don't want
so
the reveal, so they edited them out.
Oh.
But I do not understand why you would only edit out the character.
Why just not show that scene?
Like, or not even that, but just like get rid of everything. Why would you bother to like go through the work of only editing out the character
instead
and not
of,
the parachute?
Because it's Deadpool.
I mean, yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people are kind of, because that sounds, any other movie, that sounds ridiculous. No, clearly it's just an invisible character. But it's Deadpool. So like, they may just be like, no, we didn't want to...
We just didn't want to tease. Like, we didn't want to reveal everything we had.
Like, it's Kitty Pryde. Kitty Pryde shows up, and he's be like, "Oh, hey, yeah, you'll notice her. She was in the trailer, but she wasn't."
Or just
because, like, that's a thing they would do. It's just be like, hey, we changed the case. Oh, hey, we can finally show you now.
We can show you who this character is. Yeah, that's I like that theory a lot, but I'm sure it's just someone invisible, which really limits the number of X-Men it could be. The internet's been trying to just really hit that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other big thing we got, and this is not even a little bit, like, we're not positive, but boy does it look like it. There's a, like, half-second scene.
Like, 3 frames.
Yeah, like, it's less than a second if you want to try and catch this, because I did. I tried to catch it on YouTube, and it took me a minute to get it paused at the right time. You can see Colossus putting a blade in what looks like the visor of a metal helmet.
Huh.
So
a very large metal helmet.
Right. That's kind of dome-shaped. Ish. We can't see the full thing, but what we can see makes it look a little domey.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're thinking Juggernaut is in this movie.
No.
I mean, if all you've seen of Juggernaut is X3, then that's an appropriate reaction.
I know more of Juggernaut than that. Thank you.
I know, I know.
I just feel like he's part of a cheat code.
I mean, a glorious cheat code, because boy, do I love Juggernaut.
I do too, but like, I want him in, like, a mainstream, like, in a main X-Men movie, because he is a, you know, between the animated series and other, like, certain misuses of Juggernaut, he's kind of been relegated to, like, a C-level villain.
Yeah.
Like, an iconic C-level villain, but still kind of a C-level villain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, man, I don't,
he
I really wish.
What he deserves.
Yeah, and I kind of, and I feel like he deserves better than Deadpool. Not that I don't think they would do it well, but I want the Charles Xavier stuff and all of that, or even like,
because having Juggernaut without Xavier is kind of weird.
Yeah, and it's like having a Venom movie without Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You'd never do that. I'm sorry. I also kind of dug the how he wasn't like necessarily a mutant. He was like
it wasn't a mutant at all.
It was the channel from the god
Sidorak.
Like, do that. Like, show us that, not just, like, big dumb guy who's sick of Deadpool's BS.
I also want them to make it, like,
because I don't, like, personally, I don't think it's Juggernaut. I think that could be cool, but I don't think it's him.
I mean, and that's fair, but I would really like it to be, especially since they've shown now with Colossus that they're not afraid to use a CG character.
Yeah.
And that's
because
really,
he looked awesome.
Colossus looks so good. And that's really the only way you're going to get Juggernaut.
To get a good Juggernaut.
Right. It's the same thing with Hulk. Like, you're not going to be able to get a good Hulk without CG.
Because Juggernaut is the size of the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, he's the avatar of Sidorak.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all of his power from the gem that's in the helmet. That's why you take off the helmet, and then he's no longer a threat. And, yeah, that's just the lore of Juggernaut, which, boy, did they mess that up in X3. I mean, though, they just completely changed his character, and he just looked super goofy.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's the Juggernaut.
Yeah, he sure is. That helmet.
Yeah.
I went back and rewatched
that obscure, like, half-flat boxy thing.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because, I went back and watched a video of it because I forgot exactly how bad it was.
Why would you do that?
Because my mind wants to protect me
from things. Even I haven't gone back and watched it. I'm notorious for watching crappy movies.
Well, because I was thinking, like, I didn't watch the movie.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I watched the scene.
Okay.
Not the movie.
Okay. All right. That's better.
Because I couldn't remember exactly what he looked like. Because, again, my brain was trying to protect me. Because I haven't seen X3 since I watched it in theaters.
Yeah.
And I never planned on watching it again. And, yeah, he looks terrible. That helmet is the dumbest looking thing I've ever seen.
It's real bad.
I have seen Juggernaut cosplay that looked better than this.
That is like a, hey, we found an old busted up Magneto helmet, but worse.
Let's use this.
We found this from the first movie.
Just go ahead and throw it on there and put on some paint.
We found a busted up rugby ball. Let's use this.
They try, like, it's one of those like Taekwondo competition helmets.
Yeah.
That they just kind of like
they made it
they
look
painted
metal,
yeah,
and painted it. They painted it like a metallic purple.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you had him charging after Kitty Pryde through the walls and everything else. And it was just awful. So, yeah, this could redeem the Juggernaut as a character in the live action. And that would make me really, really happy. I don't know where exactly the Juggernaut would fit into the storyline they're trying to tell, but I'm curious.
Oh yeah, no, like I like it's if it is Juggernaut, I'm not gonna be mad about it.
Right.
It's yeah. just a personal preference as something as a prediction. You know, clearly I haven't seen it. I don't know what kind of context they would use him in, but
exactly. And in the comic books, for a while, Colossus was the avatar of Sidorak.
Yes, he was.
And Juggernaut Colossus is awesome and terrifying,
mm-hmm.
and I would be A-okay with Deadpool throwing that into the mix.
Which, this is totally off topic, but I think you've read both. Which is scarier, Sidorak Colossus or Phoenix Force Colossus?
It's got to be Sidorak Colossus.
Because Phoenix Force Colossus was objectively terrifying.
Well, because, like, yeah, Phoenix Force Colossus was straight up evil.
Yeah.
But Sidorak Colossus, if he lost control,
mm-hmm.
was unstoppable.
Literally. Like,
yeah, completely. Because you can't take off the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works with Colossus. He has just, like, it's difficult to explain without, I'm just going to say comic books, you couldn't take off the helmet and make him no longer the Avatar.
Right.
Because of the deal that he made with Sidorak to take it away from Juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
Because of fear itself. And fear itself made Juggernaut completely invincible. And the only way they were able to stop him was by making a deal with Sidorak, and that's how Colossus became the new Juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
But the only time he became Juggernaut is when he hulked out. Literally. Like, he had to lose control of his emotions, and then he turned into Juggernaut.
Ouch.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It was real scary.
It was. So, yeah, that's the only reason I say that, because, yeah, you have, like, Phoenix Force is evil, sure, but, yeah. Anyway, so Deadpool 2, that's going all the way back now. Really, really excited about this movie. Like, I keep thinking that, you know, another trailer is going to be too much. But every trailer they've shown has just made me more excited about the movie.
Because it's not giving us any plot.
Right.
Like, it's just...
Like, the only plot we know is Cable's come to town and there's a kid that Cable's after.
And Deadpool doesn't want to let Cable kill the kid.
Yep.
I really like the... someone did a side-by-side of Deadpool cutting the first bullet in half and Ryan Reynolds' character in Blade 3 doing the exact same... Like, it's the exact same choreography.
I thought that was in the Wolverine movie, wasn't it?
That he was doing that in? Yeah.
When he was the terrible Deadpool?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, because he cut the bullet in half.
I get confused because Blade 3 and Deadpool in Wolverine 3 were the exact same character.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because it was Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds.
Unmasked Ryan Reynolds, just mouthy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I loved that little where he's just unloading the entire thing and Deadpool's just deflecting all the bullets. Well, and then again, then you see the front shot of Deadpool and he didn't deflect any of them except for, like, the first one.
He deflected, like, a few. Your bullets are fast.
Ooh, that's dark. What are you, the DC Universe?
Yes. Like, oh, did you hear that Teen Titans Go had a comeback for it?
Really?
Yeah.
Don't start that war.
Right?
That's
no. Somebody actually put a comment on it. I'll say what the comeback was in a minute. But somebody's reply to it was easily better than the comeback. Like, DC, if your best retort is Teen Titans Go, you've already lost this fight.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Because basically it was just it was a Green Lantern that showed up and it was like, well, we had a live action Green Lantern, but we don't talk about that. It's like, that's just slam on Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds was the best part of that awful movie.
Seriously.
That you put out.
Right.
Like, that's...
That doesn't make any damn sense.
Like, yeah, we made a really terrible thing, didn't we? Got him.
He was part of that terrible thing.
It's this early and that boy ain't right.
And honestly, the funny thing about it was Deadpool has already made fun of that movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like,
in the very first trailer.
Just stop, DC. Just stop. You're done.
Speaking of DC and being done. Okay, that's not entirely fair. I'm just going to go ahead and give it a little bit of a spoiler-free review of the new DC animated film, Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay. I went ahead and purchased that movie because I really, really liked the Suicide Squad Assault on Arkham movie.
Are you regretting your purchase?
I mean, I'm not regretting my purchase, but I also want to warn everyone that it is not a sequel to Assault on Arkham.
No.
Like, not even a little bit. It's set in a completely different universe. It has to be. Because it's the only way it makes sense.
Maybe. I mean, it's a sequel to a different DC animated movie, but you don't find that out until well into the film.
Yeah. And even that is like a technically a completely different timeline.
But it was cool. Like, it was very cool the way they did it. Like,
yes.
Because we watched this movie on Friday, and it was... There were some really, really cool things about it. There were some really, really bad things about it.
It's probably the only time I've ever liked Copperhead.
Copperhead was awesome. The new Copperhead is really cool. She shows up in... she's in the Flash run right now.
Oh, yeah.
And she's pretty intense, which this is original... This is OG Copperhead, so it's the Snake Man version. And not just, like, the moniker that was
passed adopted
down.
By, like,
yeah.
a million
like
different
Like, three other
characters.
People.
Yeah.
At a certain point in the movie, two characters literally get into a fist fight based on who has the darker backstory.
What?
That happens.
That
Why?
It's a thing that... No, I'm more tortured. No, I'm more tortured.
Why are they having an emo fight?
Because they needed to fill time.
Yeah, I mean, it's an edgelord fight is what it is.
It really is. Which, there's a lot of this movie is just like, hey, look how edgy we can be.
So
look
it's
how much,
poor writing.
Look how much blood. Yeah. Ooh, you get a glimpse of nipple.
There was nipple in this, which surprised me.
Because they have to intentionally do that.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, they drew it. Like, it was there.
Sheesh.
Yeah, no, and I'll, you know what? I'm going to spoil that for you.
Go right on ahead.
Oh, a Knockout? Is that the character?
It's that. Well, that's who gets the. That's who you
that,
see.
That's
the,
whose nipple you see, for like a part of a second.
Yeah.
And also, like, the deep cuts they pull for this film.
Yeah, there's a lot of DC characters that you're like,
who are you?
Did you know that Silver Banshee's is a thing?
No,
I forgot.
No one else did either.
Which, I mean, it was a really cool version of her.
Yeah.
And like what they did with Killer Frost was super cool.
That's true, like, except they just completely changed, like, they made unnecessary changes to her. Like, they changed her name.
Yeah, that
was...
Which
was weird.
Yeah.
And, like, this is what really, like, solidifies the fact that it's not a sequel to Assault on Arkham. Because if you've watched Assault on Arkham, you know that Killer Frost is in that film. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Snow. And they say her name in that film.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
So in this new film, though, it's some girl named, like, something Frost.
It's
like,
something, yeah, her last name is Frost.
Yeah, and she just goes Killer Frost, and I want to say her name started, like, Claire Frost or something
like
that.
I don't remember at all.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Because they literally only say it, like, once.
Yep.
The rest of the movie, they refer to her as Killer Frost.
And also, that's another thing that drove me crazy about this film. So they're doing this, like, Midwest adventure. They actually start in Branson, Missouri, which, did you know that that's like Las Vegas with casinos, like,
apparently,
lining the streets?
Yeah. It's not as upscale, but that's what...
Oh, no,
Branson...
it is as big as Las Vegas.
In this DC animated
hell to
movie.
Pay.
Did they just not get the rights to call it Vegas?
So the ridiculous part is, all of these villains, none of them are running around incognito. I mean, these are famous villains that are...
They're just, hey, what's up, man?
They are full on in their super villain gear.
Yeah.
As they walk into a diner.
They walk into a diner in, like, full on gear, and nobody questions that. They go into this casino in Branson.
So they're just in uber confidence mode.
Yeah. Like, or they're just, like, in for a cosplay convention and then just go in. Because it's Deadshot, Harley, and Killer Frost. Like, low-key outfits.
Also,
yeah.
Copperhead.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Copperhead.
The giant snake man.
Because
just,
this version of Copperhead is the one that, you know, had a bunch of, like, genetic and cybernetic modifications done to him.
So he's got the giant biometal tail.
Yep.
He's got the unhingeable jaw that is just, like, snake jaw.
Yeah,
with
the
giant
teeth
tongue
and the tongue and everything.
Like, okay,
yeah.
Cool. So we just got pure on, like, freak mode happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's just,
like,
a weird-looking dude.
There's a seven-foot snake monster just walking around, and no one cares.
Maybe someone really just likes EverQuest.
Until he, like, hisses at somebody.
Yeah.
Then they
That's what tips him off. Oh, wait, use, like, a snake man.
Oh, I need to be afraid of you.
Yeah, because somebody's
like, What bio did you crawl out of?
Because he's walking by some dude in like Nowheresville, Colorado, and he's just sitting there staring at him, and like Copperhead looks at him and then hisses at him, and the dude's like, "Oh snap!" and then just runs away.
Run.
and they just walk into a diner. They sit down and order food.
That said, and we're ragging on this movie, and it wasn't. It's not a great movie.
No.
I really dug Christian Slater as a Deadshot.
Yeah, that was actually really cool.
I thought he did a really, really good job.
This is probably the worst writing for Harley Quinn I've seen in anything, and that includes the live-action Suicide Squad film.
Yeah, this was a terrible version of Harley.
In other words, Harley is not getting any good press lately at all.
No.
Which is really a bummer, because they actually got Tara Strong to voice her, and she's my favorite Harley Quinn voice outside of Arlene Sorkin. But... yeah, she just
they didn't give her anything like substantial.
No, like
the best part was the grumpy thing.
Yeah,
I think that was probably my favorite thing that she did,
because she had a couple of decent lines, but for the most part, it was just
terrible. Was very much a side character, which was
that's
weird.
Depressing.
Which on the one hand, it was almost kind of refreshing that they didn't try to make a Suicide Squad thing with Harley being the hard focus.
Yeah.
Because that's not usually how that goes. Because
she just ended up being a background character. And in the comic book, she's hard focus.
I mean. But that's a relatively recent move.
Just kind of discovered Harley Quinn as their...
Deadpool?
Yeah.
So
they want Harley Quinn to be their fourth of the... Yeah.
The voice actors did a good job. Like, it was well acted.
It just wasn't well written.
Yeah, right. The writing was pretty weak. I like the idea of the story. And like what the thing they're chasing and all, like the MacGuffin of it all.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of plot holes. And there was a lot of things that they made a very specific point of mentioning at the beginning of the movie that was then just wildly thrown out the window with no given reason by the end.
And that's really sad, because for a while the DC animated stuff was like really, really good. And from what I've heard on the last few, you guys have just been saying it's been going downhill.
Well, like the thing is, the only problem, like Batman Bad Blood, I think was what it was. That's not what it's called. Gaslight by Gotham?
Gotham by Gaslight?
Gotham by Gaslight.
Because I haven't watched a DC animated film in a while again.
They haven't done one with the main storyline in a while. Because this very much had, like, it also had the same animation problem that Killing Joke had.
Okay.
The animation was not great. Mm-hmm. Some of the fights were kind of cool looking, but in general, like, yeah, I did not like the animation.
But that's basically, it's another, like, B film for them, while supposedly they're hopefully working on a good A film again.
Exactly.
But that was, like, that's more of a style choice that they made. It wasn't like it was done poorly. It's just the way they chose to do it wasn't...
I'm not a fan of it, because
I'm not a huge fan. I don't mind it. I don't think it's probably as much as you did. But, like, yeah, I totally get why people wouldn't be into it.
It had, like, this 90s cartoon vibe to it.
Okay.
But with, you know,
but
HD
they tried to
features.
Modernize it, yeah.
So, it like, whenever, because, like, the 90s animation stuff and, like, older really relies on that, you know, graininess of the back in the day. Like, Batman the Animated Series, it's not spectacularly animated. It looked, you know, great, especially for something coming out of the 90s. But, like, that dark, gritty atmosphere that was created by, you know, the era helped it. Versus
well, part of it's also because it was all still done by hand. If dust got on there, that's what you're seeing.
Right. So, yeah, this is, you know, all computer generated and everything else, and it just looks
icky.
Off.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I think the last one was, yeah, Gotham by Gaslight, which actually was really good. I enjoyed that DC animated movie. And then, yeah, I think that's the first one. Well, we had the Batman and Harley Quinn one, which is also another like spinoff movie.
See, I haven't watched any of those. I don't even remember what the last one I watched was.
The Batman Harley Quinn one was a Bruce Timm movie.
Okay.
And it actually like it was super goofy. Like it was basically like watching one of the old Harley Quinn episodes of the animated series.
Okay. So my favorite episodes.
Yeah, the Sans Joker Harley Quinn episodes importantly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just super goofy like fun lighthearted romp.
When Harley decides she's done with crap and is gonna go do her own thing for a while.
Yeah, no, it's pretty fun. Dalton was not a fan of that one. Dalton hated that movie.
Dalton also
so
hates
much.
Harley Quinn, so there was no version of that movie. There's no version of a movie called Batman and Harley Quinn that Dalton is going to enjoy.
You know, that's entirely fair. But either way, yeah, you're right. The animated movies, though, in general, are good, and most of them are still great. But it's just the last few releases have been.
Underwhelming.
Because I know I was on a good kick where I was just borrowing all of yours to get caught up and watching them, and I haven't done that probably since I moved.
Yeah, that's fair. I've got like four more for you if you want to borrow them. Yeah, at the very
take
least,
your,
I think you'll
take your
you'll
time
like,
on this one.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, because, well, so the normal rating system we can't really do because it's not a theatrical release.
Yeah.
I would, like, if you are a diehard DC fan and, like, you haven't missed any of these, rent it.
I mean, you've probably already bought it, honestly, if you're
that's
that kind of.
That's true, yeah.
Because that's me.
you just buy them when they come out.
I saw it was out and I went and bought it. Honestly, yeah, like if you're not that kind of person though and you wait to kind of hear reviews and stuff like that, that's my review. Rent it. It's worth watching. Like
there are some really, really cool things that happen in it.
Yeah.
Which we won't get into because we don't want to spoil those. But there is also a lot of just dumb stuff coming out of it.
And if you are a stickler for DC canon, avoid this. You will dislike it.
Yeah. You will be angry.
If you do like hearing about real deep cuts, if you know who Tobias Whale is, you might like this film. Because there are some deep cuts. Which, yeah, good time. So, yeah, like I said, there's your review. Check it out. It's fun to watch. It's just not good.
It's especially fun to watch like we did it with a group of people and everyone's kind of...
So you can sit there and mock it if you absolutely start feeling
insane. Yeah, so you can
like, kind of
like
insane.
Crack jokes at its expense, but also just like, oh, well, that was neat.
Also, Copperhead easily had the best line in the entire film.
Hands down.
And it was one word.
Yep.
I'm not going to spoil it. I'll tell
you. When you see it, you'll know it.
Okay.
It was great. Anyway, all right. So I guess I could have gone with this after Deadpool 2. But yeah, back to some Deadpool 2 related stuff. David Leitch will be directing Ubisoft's The Division. I didn't know there was enough story there to make a movie out of.
See, and I don't think there is. Which, like, Shannon will have to correct us on that one. Because
he definitely put a lot more time into that than
we did. He put a lot of time into The Division. I don't think there is. I think it's just they want to make... This has a lot of things... When you think about it, this has a lot of things going for it to be a video game adapted movie. You have just a vague enough story of it's a post-apocalyptic... A plague has wiped out New York. And now you have this group of people, like this force trying to maintain order and peace. There's not a whole lot of heavy character development that you have to really get right. There's no beloved character that if they screw up, the diehard fans are going to be super angry.
Mm-hmm.
You have, and like post-apocalyptic movies are a dime a dozen now, so it's not like it's a risky venture to try to pitch
to
people.
They all get watched. Yeah.
And also, like, it's Tom Clancy. Tom Clancy's name is attached to it.
And that, and its own is going to drag people in.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, I feel like this is just going to be, like, this isn't... I think it has a chance, if they do it well, like, it could be a really good movie because it's not necessarily, it can avoid maybe, not that this isn't the right word, the stigma of being a video game movie.
No, yeah, there's definitely a stigma to video game movies because they are not.
They are mostly terrible.
Yeah. With a few exceptions here and there, they're for the most part pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, even the Warcraft movie, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wasn't the best.
Yeah, it had a lot of recognizable flaws.
See, and with, like, movies like that, you have so many...
So much lore.
When you have... Well, you have so much lore, and there is someone, or multiple people, who have really attached themselves to, like, an obscure character. And if they get a detail wrong, they're screwed.
Yeah.
And then you have something like Assassin's Creed, which... is a weird concept to someone who isn't familiar with the games. So, like, a general moviegoer who does not own a video game console, which you have to remember, like, yeah, it might be weird for someone like us to be like, oh, you don't have a video game console, but, like, average people probably don't.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
So, like, that could be a hard concept to buy into if you're not presenting it really, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like I said, it's just, this is a post-apocalyptic, militarized movie. And then... So
they can make their own story with it. They can go the Resident Evil route where it's...
Because did Division even have a single-player mode?
No. It was online only because it was their MMO.
Yeah, it was like their Destiny, but with less story, with less version of a story. Dear Lord.
Because, you have like, you know, Resident Evil, they took a premise and they made a completely different movie out of it. They just adapted their own story they wanted to tell.
Yeah.
Which... doesn't make a whole lot of sense since there was a story there, but this, yeah, they can very much do that. Just tell whatever story they want inside this universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, that's a solid point. That could work in its favor. And it'll be starring Jessica Chastain and Jake Gyllenhaal, which, cool.
Yeah.
I like Jessica Chastain at least. Sometimes I like Jake Gyllenhaal.
He can go 1 for 2 in Ubisoft video game based movies.
Oh.
Possibly. Well, some people like Prince of Persia.
Well, those people are just
wrong.
Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts. All right. And looks like Marvel is actually going to be publishing for us an official MCU timeline. You know that universe has gotten huge when people are demanding an official timeline.
I'm lost. Let me know where I am.
When is that coming out? Like, when are they going to, like, publish that?
Probably after Infinity War.
Dang it.
We want it now.
Well, no, I want to know where Ant-Man and Wasp
Fall
takes place. Like, is this before Infinity War? Is it after Infinity War? I feel like it's going to need to be before Infinity War. But it's coming out after Infinity War. We already know Captain Marvel is going to take place in the 90s.
Yep.
So,
because like the Russo brothers, they in an interview said that Spider-Man Homecoming took place 8 years after the first Avengers movie, which the internet kind of like looked at that and like, no, there's no way that can be true. And
it's like, how?
And then they went nuts because, you know, it's the internet.
Right.
So
someone was wrong.
Yeah. We like something is wrong. This is an official source saying something that cannot possibly be true. What do?
What happened?
Like, brain no work now. What do? they apparently the Russo brothers misspoke, and like the movie wasn't even 8 years apart. So they're not like, because it seems like they were trying to go with like, you know, a timeline of like real world,
mm-hmm. right?
Because Homecoming came out 6 years after Avengers,
mm-hmm.
which that's insane to think.
Yes, it is.
But regardless, it was 5 years because it came out in 2017 with Spider-Man and 2012 was Avengers. So, yeah, they misspoke. And then Marvel said, like, well, we are very, very careful not to put dates on any of these movies so that they can be happening, like, you know, at different times. Like, their release date, just because it releases in November of 2018 doesn't mean that the movie takes place in November 2018.
But it's very hard to not just fall in. You don't have dates on it.
Right.
And everything that's in there is fairly modern. It's just like, oh, this is happening now.
Exactly. It's really hard to not believe that it's happening right now. With the obvious exceptions being, of course, the first Captain America movie taking place in the 40s. And
yeah.
Then the new Captain Marvel movie will be taking place in the 90s. Those are the only ones where we have had specific dates. And apparently that's been very much on purpose on behalf of Marvel.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, they're going to get us an official timeline coming up here pretty soon, likely, like I said, after Infinity War. All right.
Oh, also just real quick, speaking of Infinity War, the Russo brothers have said that we will not find out the name of the second, like, the next Marvel movie until well after Infinity War, because they have to give people time to watch it and digest it.
Mm.
So,
aww. Someone's dying.
Oh, well, clearly someone is dying, but like...
I mean, didn't we already know this going in?
Well, they changed it from... Well, yeah, we knew that coming in, but they changed it from... Because originally was Infinity War Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But they changed that because... And they're now full on saying, like, the movie will not end on a massive cliffhanger. It is
okay.
A complete story on its own. It is a standalone
film. I feel like that's
going
to be majorly condensed.
Which, hoorah.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm sure the next Avengers movie will still very much be a direct sequel to this one, like
yeah.
in the sense that it is a part one and part two.
Yeah.
But at least, yeah, we will have some sort of finality there. But
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want a massive cliffhanger anyways.
Yeah. And I mean, every movie is kind of set up for something else anyway.
Right.
So.
But this one, like, even more so.
Right.
Probably.
It's going to be a big setup for next movie, but we'll still have conclusions mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
Which good.
Good.
Because, yeah, I was fully prepared for flipping Lord of the Rings style. Like, all right, well, we finished that part, and now we're walking. And credits.
No, though.
The story is not even close to finished.
What are you doing?
And then they made up for it in the third film by giving us 8 endings. Back to back to back to back. That's actually phenomenal news. All right, so this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends in Perryville, Missouri at Villainous Grounds.
Yay!
All of your comic book and coffee needs taken care of in one place.
If you're listening to this and you're a local of Cape Girardeau and you went to the Comic-Con this weekend and you got some of their coffee because they had their booth set up here, Perryville, Missouri, it's like 30 minutes away.
I drive there almost every day.
It is worth the drive.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you, because like we go once every 2 weeks.
Yep.
And it's the highlight of those 2 weeks usually.
Yep. We go there. We pick up our comic books and, you know, hang out. It's a great time. Come on home. And it's not, yeah, it's not a bad drive at all.
Nope.
Especially
if you can go with like, if you can go from, go with friends, like you just hang out in the car.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
It's a great time.
No, there's no reason for you to not be going.
It's true. And even if you're not going, just throw on your favorite Podzilla 1985 podcast and make your trip.
You can listen to half of it up on the way up there, the other half on the way back.
Exactly.
Done.
Perfect. Perfect. Anyway, so in comic books, Dick Grayson is going to be Batman again starting in July.
And this is in the main, like, Tom King Batman run?
Yes, because Tom King is writing this.
I'm okay with it. Like, I like Dick. I like Dick as Batman. I kind of hope that he brings in Damian as Robin.
That would be pretty cool.
Because, like, I would love to see Tom King's take on that.
And I know, like, I'm kind of upset Dalton's not here because I know the look he would have given me when I told him in the pre-show.
Spoiler alert. Oh, Skeet!
Yeah, that would happen after the jaw drop look.
Yeah.
Or he would have made some sort of gross gesture relating to that phrase.
Yep.
Anyway, Bruce is apparently going on a honeymoon with Selina Kyle, which, I mean, yeah, that's what's happening right now. They're getting married.
I'd read that book at this point, the way Tom King writes it.
Oh, yeah. Like, if I was happy reading, like, them going on a double date.
Not in, like, a gross way of, like, oh, it's the honeymoon and Batman and Cat. Like, no. Like, get your head out of the gutter.
That's
like,
the Dalton
like,
way.
Genuinely. Like, I think that would be just super, just them on, like, a beach somewhere. Like,
just chilling.
Because, like, oh, someone tries to mug them.
Yeah.
Like, that would be hilarious.
You get that Wolverine moment
exactly.
I had.
Yeah. Just like, are you breaking in? Yay.
You have some terrible luck. I would definitely read that. Like I said, Tom King made me enjoy a double date with Batman and Catwoman and Superman and Lois Lane.
Oh, I love that. I loved that.
I loved that book so much.
It was so good.
That's one of my favorite books in Tom King's run. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't happen.
No, it shouldn't. Especially it really shouldn't.
And, like, that's not to say that the rest of his stuff is bad, because the rest of his stuff is so good.
It's all been great. It's
that
all been great.
That run has been amazing. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing Tom King write Dick Grayson as Batman, because that's just going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Especially because, like, I don't read the Nightwing book anymore, so get me a good dose of...
Give me a dose of Dick Grayson that's not trying to hook up with whatever attractive female that is going to betray him in next issue.
I made a very conscious effort to say a good dose of Grayson. I'm on to you, internet. you ain't clipping any of these. Clipping any sound bites, taking them out of context.
That would have been my text tone.
Oh, that would have been real awkward at work.
I keep it on vibrate at work.
was that Asa? Don't worry about it.
Nothing. It was nothing. You heard nothing.
We are not that close. Shut up. apparently Bruce is going on honeymoon, and then after the honeymoon, he's got jury duty.
I don't understand.
Here's the thing.
Why are we going for the mundane?
Because I guarantee you I know what this is. It is going to be Bruce Wayne has been summoned to jury duty, which happens to everyone at some point.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be someone that Batman caught.
Yeah,
hands
probably.
Down. And for whatever, and you know, clearly he can't just be like, oh, I can't be impartial because I'm the one that turned him in. Like, I'm...
Yeah, no, it's going to be like, since he's sequestered and everything else, they can't have, like, that would start to raise questions if, you know, every time Batman shows up, Bruce Wayne's suddenly not in the hotel.
Right.
So, yeah, that's
why.
Or, hey,
Bruce Wayne's been in the hotel this whole, like, Bruce Wayne's been put into sequestration and Batman's just gone.
Right. So, yeah, you've got, like, there's too much link there, which is why they've got, you know, Dick Grayson coming in for the Batman role. So,
like, yeah, I'm playing substitute right now.
Yep. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Which, yeah, like, so far, until they tell me Tom King's not writing it anymore, I'm just going to keep being excited about Batman.
Yep.
So, yeah, and then in other comic book news, the Fantastic Four are officially returning. You know, now that Marvel has those rights back, where they're not going to be the...
They'll care about the comics again.
They'll care about that. You know, they're already showing the care about X-Men again.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes Fantastic Four. Yeah, so we're getting... We've had... Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm, they've obviously been involved in comic books still.
And like the 2-in-1 and...
Yeah, they did their 2-in-1.
Johnny Storm was in Chip Zdarsky's Spider-Man run.
Yep, he's been a part of the Uncanny Avengers. Mm-hmm. He was in the Inhumans because he had his relationship going over there. Like Medusa's side piece, I think, is what he was. Look, I don't pretend to understand it. I didn't read Inhumans. I read the X-Men versus Inhumans, and that's where that was happening.
Gotcha.
Or my first dose of that happening. And then, yeah, Ben Grimm was, he was off gallivanting with the Guardians of the Galaxy for a minute, which was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then later, he's just kind of working for S.H.I.E.L.D., trying to figure out what on earth is going on with Dr. Doom being Iron Man. He's like, no, he's not a good guy. He can't be a good guy. I'm bringing him in. The four of you could, like, you needed Reed to take out Doom before.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
You're getting cocky.
You're getting cocky, Grimm. So, yeah, they had their 2-in-1 recently, and, yeah, that's apparently leading to Sue and Reed coming back, and they're bringing Valeria and Franklin with them. So it's going to be the whole family, and apparently Doom will be the antagonist of the first arc.
Doom-de-doom-doom-doom.
Get out of here.
I'm not caught up on Infamous Iron Man. Like, I haven't finished that run.
Mm.
It kind on the one hand, like, oh, he was such a good, complicated good guy,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just a complicated bad guy. Like, it's even more interesting somehow.
It is.
But at the same time, the reason for him being a good guy absolutely does not mean he has to stay a good guy.
No, that's true.
So, I mean,
he could just decide, well, because it's been gone for a while. Like, I don't think it's a huge spoiler. Mm-hmm. Basically, they reveal in like issue
four,
I think.
Three or four.
It's pretty early in the run that Doom has decided to be a good guy because he had the culmination of being a bad guy in Secret Wars.
He was a literal god.
Literally god, had everything that he could possibly want, including Sue Storm as his absolute loving wife with unconditional love, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he had everything that he could possibly want as a bad guy. He had ultimate power, and he still wasn't happy. So he's like, you know what? Iron Man's dead. I'm going to try being a good guy. So, yeah, that's he does a bunch of soul searching, and then he kind of realized, like, this actually is making me happy, and he kind of keeps going with it. But something could very well happen with Reed and Sue coming back that just turns him right back to evil or something else.
Or maybe just them coming back and, like, you know, you willingly gave it up, which I guess he did too, but...
Right.
Like, yeah, just seeing Reed again could set him off and just, or some crazy reason for him to hate him.
Or there could be just some misunderstanding where they just assume, like, no, this is an angle, and they basically do the same thing that Grimm was doing.
Right.
They try to figure out, like, okay, this is an angle, you're not really a good guy now.
Right, you have not seen the error of your ways at all.
Right.
Which he hasn't.
No.
He's just like, well, I'm unhappy. Maybe doing good things will make me happy.
It's like, yeah, because he recognizes that what he was doing was bad.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he knew.
He just doesn't care.
No.
Because he's Doom.
Because he's a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like a Doom literal so sociopath. Oh.
He's such a cool character. Is it bad that I'm saying a sociopath is a cool character?
No,
it's
fiction.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fiction.
If you're saying a true, actual, living sociopath.
Like the people who were
cool.
Sad when Charles Manson died.
Yeah, no, those people are messed up.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah, but anyway, Doom is just a cool bad guy.
Yeah, like, he really is. That's what I'm doing, fingers crossed for that, like, that next Avengers movie.
Oh,
give
God.
Me a Victor Von Doom.
Please.
Need it.
Would make me so happy. So anyway, yeah, that's what we're getting with the Fantastic Four. And that'll be in August of this year is when the first book releases.
That's farther than I was expecting.
Same.
It makes sense, but like, yeah, that's very early for that detailed of an announcement.
Right.
Do we have a team? Like a creative team?
Yes. It's Dan Slott. And
oh, really?
Yeah, that's the book that Slott's going to after Spidey.
I thought he was doing Iron Man.
He might also be doing that.
Dang.
But yeah, no, he's doing this one, and it's Pacelli, I think, is the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm not. I'm like still like artists, which is a terrible thing for me to say, and I completely understand that. But just like for whatever reasons, artists' names never really stick. Like my brain just does not.
It's one of those things that keep I always look at whenever I'm like really enjoying the art in a book.
Mm-hmm.
I always go back to the front, see who it was.
Gotcha.
And that's been a trend for me for the past 4 or 5 years, and which is the only way that I really know a bunch of artists.
That makes sense.
But anyway, so yeah, that's what we're getting. And then, all right, so video game news.
Oh, actually, I apologize. I should have brought this up at the beginning of the show. There is one last piece of comic book news that we have to talk about. One of our wonderful fans who is listening to this gave me the greatest gift. And I feel terrible because I am totally blanking on the name. But they reached out to us on Facebook and shared a tweet from one Sean Murphy.
And just now, to preface this, yeah, Asik, talk about last week real quick, like why this is important.
Now, I don't remember if it was on Nerds for Hire or if it was on Nerd Up.
Nerd Up was when we talked about the rules.
It was last week. So Sean Murphy is currently writing a book called Batman the White Knight. And as part of, there's rumor going of an ongoing Murphyverse where everyone like has to follow a set of rules because it's outside of the main DC continuity. One of the rules, like one of the first rules, was no delays ever for any reason.
I mean, it was like rule two, because the first rule was the one that I really, really liked. If a character dies, they're dead.
They stay dead, yes. And that is a good rule. And this is also a good rule to have of no delays ever.
Yeah, it's just really hard to stick to.
On April 19th of the year of our Lord 2018, Sean Gordon Murphy tweets out the following. So the final issue of White Knight will be released on May 9th rather than May 2nd. The delay is simply a scheduling error that got overlooked when I decided to make the final issue oversized. DC gave my team an extra week so we wouldn't be rushed. But it was a week we didn't end up needing. Full apologies to my He meant consumers, but he said costumers and shops. We turned it all in on time to avoid delays, but in our exhaustion forgot to correct the printing schedule. And then he follows it up with, I know I made a statement last week about never being late. I guess I spoke too soon. It seems there are things in publishing that are still out of my control. Yes, there are, which is what I said.
Yeah.
And as such a petty, petty man that I am, this is going to keep me warm at night for like a week.
So yeah, thank you, Ciro Villegas. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm probably butchering the crap out of your last name. Very sorry about that.
Like, I can't stress enough just the light you have brought to my life. So that's I needed to throw that in there. I apologize. But
also, I'm sorry if you didn't want to get a shout out on the show. Either way,
we very much
appreciate this post.
Because, yeah, and for the fact that it was like literally a week. It was less than a week.
It didn't make it a week.
It didn't make a full week before Rule 2 gets broken. Delicious. Mwah.
So, yeah, we will have a delay on White Knight, which is a bummer.
Yeah, a lot of people are really excited for the conclusion of that book coming, but at least it's only a week. It's not like it was a huge... It was just a scheduling error, which, again... Crap happens.
Exactly.
It's just you cannot make that promise of no delays because there are things. This was not Sean Murphy's fault.
No.
He even said like they gave us extra time because they thought we would need it, but we're killing it and we didn't. We just didn't make the correction.
Right.
Oh, like it's a bummer. It is unfortunate. I do feel bad, but when you go out of your way to be that like assertive about something, stuff happens.
Yep. Yeah, it does. Like, there's so many things that are unavoidable. Uh-oh. All right. So, this last portion of our podcast is brought to you by our good friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content at ps2jshow.com, including all of their social media links. I highly recommend checking out their History of Gaming episodes. They do that the last Wednesday of every month, and they are wonderful. All right. So we got some Black Ops 4 news. First, the big...
And boy, we wish it was better.
Yeah, the big hit. Black Ops 4 will not have a solo campaign. I know if you're like me, you're not upset by this even a little bit. But there are so many people that are going to be really upset about this. They are the same people that were upset when they bought Black Ops 3 on PS3 and Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah
and
that
it was multiplayer only.
Yeah, it was multiplayer only because they could not put the campaign on the same disc.
Just pointing out, the remastered of Modern Warfare 2, is that the one we've been talking about?
Yes.
That's coming out? Is campaign only, no multiplayer.
Baffling.
And now you're getting multiplayer only for the new release. Because with the rumor being that they didn't have enough time, they weren't going to make release, which is insane when you consider that these developers are on a 3-year cycle now.
Right. So instead, because, and I know what it is, I know exactly why it happened, and that's the next part of the news, they're adding a Battle Royale mode.
More than likely. It hasn't been confirmed yet. Like, they're doing a thing on May 17th?
Yeah, it was May 17th.
On May 17th, they're doing a big reveal for Call of Duty. Yep. And until then, Activision isn't saying anything. They're like, we don't comment on rumors and speculation anytime anyone has, like, brought this to their attention. So we'll have to wait until them to really probably get any sort of big idea. And honestly, like, I was like, oh, man, I kind of enjoyed the Black Ops 3 single-player-ish just because it gave me a chance to, like, get a feel for the guns. But then I remembered I maybe played, like, 20 minutes of the single-player in World War II.
Right.
I didn't play any of it in Infinite Warfare, so I'm like, I guess this doesn't really affect me as much. It's a bummer, because I don't like the idea, I don't like the trend of, like, single-player thinning out.
But honestly, like, the single-player for Call of Duty games have suffered since Modern Warfare 2, yeah, just because they put so much time and effort into the multiplayer, mm-hmm, because that was back when they were on, you know, a 2-year cycle.
Right.
And, yeah, they suffered hard because they put so much effort in the multiplayer, because that is the main draw to a Call of Duty game. There are people that do buy it for the single player, and that's fine. You know, they're into it, but that is not their targeted audience. Like, that is not, it's a chunk of their audience, but it's not the full audience.
Right. But most but there is an audience there, and yes, now you are kind of, they are alienating these people.
Exactly. Which, yeah, you don't want to do that, but yeah, they did it, I'm certain, for this Battle Royale mode, if it, mm-hmm, comes to be.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah, it is just a rumor. They're adding Battle Royale. For those of you not familiar with that style of game, think PUBG, Fortnite, like those.
Which, if you were listening to this show, you know what either of those are.
Yes.
They are everywhere.
The short of it, 100 people drop on the map, which this one won't be 100 people initially. They might go to that eventually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 100 people drop out in random places on a big old map. You find weapons. The map gets smaller and smaller. The last person alive wins. Which, cool, like, not for me, I'm not a fan, but it would not surprise me, because that has been trending hard in the last year.
I've tried to play Fortnite twice, and there's no kind of tutorial, you just start playing, mm-hmm, and with Fortnite, there's those building mechanics. I didn't understand anything, I died, like, immediately both times, and I was like, okay, I need to find, like, a group of people, or, like, I need to play with someone who can explain how this works. Because it's just like, otherwise it was just like, yeah, I'm not having fun with it. I immediately switched back over to Injustice. Yeah. Which, granted, this was
one of those ones also, as the map shrinks, if you're not inside the circle as it's shrinking, you're done.
Yep. Yep. Well, you start taking damage if you're not inside the circle.
Okay, that's what
play.
I thought.
Yeah, and they do that to keep you from camping the same spot for the entire
whole time.
Game. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, the spot you're in
is in the section that's shrinking.
Yep. So, yeah, they might be adding that, and so is Battlefield.
Yeah,
because why not?
Battlefield 5 is also looking to add a Battle Royale mode.
I hate this trend. Like, I know there are a lot of, I know I'm in the minority. I'm the guy.
No one can do something original.
Right, I'm the guy playing single player Call of Duty, I guess, in this particular scenario, because I do not like these Battle Royale modes even a little bit. I did not like PUBG, did not like Fortnite Battle Royale. It's too much randomness in it. It's fun to kind of, like, mess around in for a minute, but I cannot get into it.
And in its first month on mobile, which is iOS only, Fortnite Battle Royale made more than $25 million.
Good Lord.
So, I mean, it's a huge thing. Like, it is a cultural phenomenon at this point.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I feel like I could get into it if I put in the time, but there's just so much other stuff that I'm playing that I'm having more fun with.
And honestly, like, I don't even know that you would necessarily like it a whole lot, just because of how much time and effort goes into each match, and then you get beat by some nonsense,
mm-hmm,
and it takes so much time to get another game going.
Fortnite, it's not like that in Fortnite. Fortnite, you can immediately jump out and, like, jump right back in.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of, because
That's what I did when I was playing. When I, like, died immediately, and then I jumped back in, and then I died immediately again. I was like, I'm gonna play with the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, because you don't have to, like, watch it through to the end, mm-hmm, in either game. But the thing that you have, like, once you die, you have to go back out. You're in the waiting area for the bus. The bus takes you. You dive.
Which doesn't take that much. It's like, that's not a... It takes less time to do that than to back out of a game of Battlefront 2.
That's fair. That, yeah, because that takes forever. Unless you have... Like, the Xbox One X does it real quick.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. It, I mean, it's not like Call of Duty quick, mm-hmm. but it is significantly faster than
the regular
Xbox
or...
One, because that game is just poorly optimized, I guess. The update was fun, though. Like, you know, we never did talk about that. Well, yeah, we did.
Yeah, because I played it a little bit, and yeah. I was a little bit bummed at just the way that it ended up being optimized. If you didn't have cards already for the class that you played the most in,
mm-hmm.
you were kind of like screwed a little. But
for a minute, anyway,
that Ewok hunt
got caught up.
That Ewok hunt mode, I really want to play because Shannon and Hunter were playing with that, and it's like a horror. It's like a horror style game.
Yeah, like, and you can become an Ewok. Like, if you get killed by an Ewok, you become an Ewok.
And the Ewoks are scary.
I guess that's where his scary Ewok comment came from the other day.
Yeah, because you're basically in a team. You're a team of stormtroopers in a very like pitch black forest, and then it starts with one Ewok. And you have to, like, and then when you kill someone, they respawn as an Ewok.
Okay.
So the more and more people who die means the more Ewoks there are.
Have.
And the Ewoks have, like, all these abilities, and they're just, like, they're fast, and they also make those creepy, like... Yeah, exactly.
And if you're a Halo fan, I know what you're thinking. And yes, it is zombies, but Ewoks.
But Ewoks. With, like, traps and stuff. And anytime someone dies, it says, you know, the five-star man was taken by the forest. Or it was lost to the forest. Yeah. That's what it was.
I like it a lot. Yeah. All right. So we are out of time, so I'm going to rapid fire real quick. Dark Souls for Switch and its amiibo have been pushed to summer of this year. Does Gaia 1 complete the basically an HD remake of the first game? Has been announced for PS4 and the Switch. Ben Brode has left Blizzard. He was the community manager for Hearthstone. And God of War 4 first impressions. Asa, rapid fire it.
Real good. I'm only like 3 hours in. It's like a 25-hour campaign. I know it's a thing that if you've been reading reviews, they care about your enjoyment of the game. They're saying don't watch videos. Don't watch, because you don't like, this is a game that spoilers matter very much, because this is very much different than any of the other God of War games, where story is and character development is a huge part of the game. I've only sunk a little bit in. Everything is one continuous camera shot in the cutscenes, like even from when you start new game. Up until where I'm at the first, like, I just got past the first, like, real boss fight. And it's, the combat is really good. I'm ready to start unlocking new abilities because your initial skill set is a little bit limited to what you can do. And when you're fighting some of these harder enemies, it's a little bit frustrating to only be able to do one or two things. It's like three or four things, but you have to kind of switch them up a little. But the combat, I was worried, like, I don't miss the jump button. At least not yet. I don't think I will. The combat being mapped to the shoulder buttons instead of the face buttons works really, really well. I wasn't a huge fan of that in Bloodborne when I played the little bit of Bloodborne that I played, but it's very intuitive. You have like a shield that you can counter with. His Leviathan axe is basically Thor's hammer, where you throw it at an enemy, and then you're just using your fists until you push triangle to recall it back to you, so you can throw it at someone, turn to like where there's another enemy, recall it back, and it just cuts through the enemy, and then you can start into combos there, and it's satisfying, and it feels really good. Kratos is awesome. I'm loving it so far. I want to play so much more of it.
All right, and the one big question: say all you know about God of War is that Kratos killed a bunch of Greek gods and he has an unfortunate past. How lost will you be in this game?
Not at all. I don't think, like, I mean, if you know that, I think that, because, again, I'm only, like, 3 hours in of a 25-hour campaign. I have seen jack of the story. Like, I've basically seen the setup of what they're doing. And so I'm not 100% sure how it'll come in, but basically, like, even this first boss fight, the guy just keeps making allusions to he knows who you are, and he knows that you're not just some guy here in the woods or whatever.
Mm.
So it's, I think if you know as much as that, you'll be fine. Because this isn't God of War 4. This is just God of War.
Yeah, I did notice that on the case. Because mm-hmm. I had always heard it billed as God of War 4. But, mm-hmm. yeah.
Because it's the fourth main game outside of, like, the PSP and the Vita mm-hmm. versions. But, no, yeah. So, it's just God of War. And it, like, I'm loving it. It's beautiful. Holy crap, is it pretty.
And you got it on that PS4 Pro.
I do, because I have the best friends in the world. Y'all gonna make me cry again.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for our show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.